Rendez-vous de la Francophonie is an annual celebration that promotes the French language, heritage, and its numerous cultural expressions. It runs March 2nd to 22nd, 2017 in communities across Canada. The RVF series, which showcases the diversity, duality, and dynamism of Canada's Francophone communities, is brought to you by La Fondation Canadienne pour le Dialogue des Cultures, the National Campus and Community Radio Association, Canadian Heritage, and this station. Please stay tuned for the next half hour for this week's edition of Rendez-vous de la Francophonie. Visit ncra.ca/RVF for more information on the series.
In this audio segment, we will introduce you to some of the characters who have played key roles in the history of the West Kootenai region here in British Columbia. Hortense and Henri Bourgeois, as well as Joseph Oliva Patinaud, are three Francophone pioneers who came to Nelson while the city was just beginning. The Gold Rush is the major event that most people connect to the early history of the West Coast. Before the Gold Rush, Francophones were in the majority in Western Canada, but with the discovery of gold came a massive influx of Anglophone gold panners. Consequently, many of the Francophone pioneers who were once in the majority in BC have all but been forgotten. Today, however, bilingualism is valued, and the West Kootenai region is home to several Francophone primary schools, as well as small, dynamic Francophone groups who celebrate their language and culture. A big change from the late 19th century perspective, where speaking French was considered a defect or a flaw and was, at best, ignored. Thanks to this segment, we are hoping to shed light on the people too often disregarded in the mainstream history, the Francophone minority, who helped build the Canada we know today. The scene takes place in Nelson in 1915. A fictional journalist meets with our three French-speaking pioneers, the couple Hortense and Henri Bourgeois, and Joseph Oliva Patinaud, to hear their stories and gather the necessary information to write an article in the Nelson Daily News, a newspaper that really existed at that time. Henri Bourgeois and his wife moved from Saint-Célestine in Quebec to Nelson at the turn of the 20th century. They moved to what is now called Crescent Valley in 1908, where they operated a large dairy farm and raised 7 or 11 children, depending on the sources. Patinaud operated a jewelry, watchmaking, and watch repair business in downtown Nelson. He had up to 13 employees. He also worked as an optician in the same location. The 366 Baker Street is still an optometry business today. He was single for his entire life, but many children, made homeless or orphaned because of the war, were entrusted to him. Patinaud was paying for their convent and visited them during the weekends. He had no enemies and was once called Uncle Pat by his numerous friends. Let us now go back in time and meet these great characters.
Mr. and Miss Henri Bourgeois.
Hello. Good day.
Oh.
And hello, Mr. Joseph Olivier Patinaud.
Hello. Thank you for your interest.
Thank you all for accepting to meet with me and answering my questions. Let's start with you, Mr. Patinaud. You are the owner of the store J.O. Patinaud Manufacturing Jewelry, Watchmaker, and Opticians here in Nelson on Baker Street. They say that you are a man of great generosity with a special interest for jewels. Where did you go to school to become an optometrist?
Actually, I studied in les États-Unis, United States, specifically in Chicago. Why Chicago? Well, I had a need for change in my life, and considering the good reputation of that academy, I didn't hesitate for a second. And to be honest with you, I wanted to learn how to speak English. Studying in Chicago helped me a lot.
Okay, but what brought you from Chicago to Nelson?
Well, I'll tell you the whole story. It's been a long time now. And I can blame it on the fact that I was young, naive, and impetuous. After obtaining my diploma, I couldn't find employment in my field right away. And I came to the point that I really needed money. I was living on a shoestring budget, as they say. And an acquaintance asked me if I knew how to paint, because he needed to hire someone to help him paint a large building. You know, a three-story building, half a block long. Huge. I was desperate. So I said, yeah, I know how to paint. Absolutely. And he hired me. Really, I don't know how. I didn't know how then. And on my first day of work, I dropped a full can of paint down the scaffolding onto his head. I'm laughing now, but back then I was mortified of what it would do to my reputation in Chicago. So I decided to do just like many Americans and leave for the Alaska Gold Rush. The train trip I was on was exciting until Ed had to make some sort of an unexpected stop, and it was delayed, so I decided to get off and look around. I found the mountains so beautiful that I was overcome with joy. And spontaneously, I decided not to get back on the train and stay right here. It was so strong, it was like God had a mission for me down here. It's been 20 years now, and I have no desire to leave.
A beautiful story. People say that you have an extraordinary generosity. There have been rumors lately that a mass in honor of Saint Antoine de Padoue was held in order to find your lost jewels. The rumors also say that if you were to find your jewels, you would donate them to the church to decorate the ostentatious. What happened to those jewels?
Rumors are flying around here. Oh. One evening, I took my canoe, and on my way to my summer cottage, it's located on the other side of the lake, as I approached the dock, to my surprise, there was a bag just floating just there in front of me, an innocent bag. So I grabbed it and I opened it up. You will never guess what was inside. The lost jewels. As I'm a man of my word, I kept my promise and I made a gift to the church. And you can see those jewels at the top of the Nelson Cathedral now.
What an incredible history, Mr. Patinode. It's unbelievable. I now have some questions for you, Mr. Henri Bourgeois. I know you traveled from the countryside to be with us today. Thank you very much. When you first arrived in Nelson, you were living in downtown Nelson. Is this right?
Yes, it's true. But first of all, you need to know that my health didn't allow me to stay in Quebec. In Saint-Celestin.
Where is Saint-Celestin exactly?
You know, it's close to Trois-Rivières, between Montreal and Quebec. Oh. Yeah, so I had to leave for my health. I only had a few months, otherwise my situation would have been fatal. My doctor ordered me to move somewhere warmer than Quebec. One thing you have to know as well, it's that my father was already here. So, I left my wife and my two boys behind. Temporarily, don't worry. and took the first job I could find. I was hired at the bakery of the Shaked brothers. You know the brothers of our future mayor of Nelson?
Of course.
Yeah. I was a baker like my father in Quebec before I moved to BC.
Why did you leave for Bourgeois Siding then?
Shortly after my arrival, my wife Hortense and my children came to join me. Everything in our life was going quite well. When a fire, for reasons still unknown, took away the bakery where we lived. You know the one at the corner of Latimer and Josephine? Of the Shaked family?
Yes.
Yeah, that one. The fire took away our two young boys, Adrien and Joseph. It was too much to take, so we simply decided to change our environment.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Your two sons. That's horrible. I didn't know. I didn't.
Yeah, it's horrible, but it's okay. It's been 10 years already that they went to paradise. And God sent us 7 more. And believe me, we have no time to be bored.
That is true. That is true. But to answer your question further, we also moved to Bourgeois Siding because my father, Moïse, was there. That is why it was called Bourgeois Siding. He had bought this farm for $1 per acre. It was a special price offered by the government to encourage people from the east to come and establish themselves out west. He had a bakery in Quebec and decided to move here and start a farm. But it was getting old and asked me if we would move to his farm and took over. It was my duty to work in my father's footsteps and grow his enterprise.
I don't doubt it. You must also be busy working at your dairy farm. Your reputation has honored you in Nelson. It's impressive. You started from nothing to becoming the number one provider of milk for Nelson and its surroundings.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Indeed, my production has increased and now extends to Nelson. But you know, since as long as I can remember, dairy cattle breeding has always fascinated me. Especially their Hampshire. When I was young, I had one. So that's probably why I love them so much. Her name was Margaret. For me, it's very important that people consume only milk of exceptional quality.
I appreciate your focus on quality. Apparently, you're also an excellent veterinarian.
If it's what they say, then I will believe it, I guess. When you have many animals at home on which you and your family's living depends, you have to know how to take care of them. That's why, eventually, I learned how to heal an infection and treat a fever.
Without any training, then?
Yeah, indeed. Without really any training or guidance, just by myself.
And it's the same for singing. He does not say it, but he has the voice of an angel. My husband has not been to a particular school to learn how to sing. God gave him this special gift.
One question comes to my mind. Being a family of French Canadians, is it difficult to raise your children in French?
Oh, you know, we do our best. Oh. Indeed. We are doing our best. You know, this is not always easy. At home, we speak French, but they go to school in English, and that's the language spoken all around town. I have heard that there are other places in D.C. where people speak French, like Maillardville, where French Canadians from Sherbrooke in Quebec, I heard, are moving to work at the Fraser Mills in the forest industry. But here in Nelson, it's mostly English.
And you, Mr. Patenaude? The question arises for you as well. How do you juggle between English and French in your daily life?
Well, working on Main Street in Nelson, I naturally have to bend to my surroundings and speak English. It's not even an option. On the other hand, when I recognize some Francophone accents, I switch to French. And there are more than you can imagine. They're everywhere. Look at the mass, for example. The Choquettes are always seated in the front row. Monsieur Bourgeois always honors us with his melodious voice during funerals. And who are the pallbearers the majority of the time? French Canadians.
Huh. Well, from what I'm hearing now, it sounds like there are quite a few French Canadians around here, isn't there?
Indeed, my friend. You know the tire shop at the corner of Josephine and Vernon Street? The owner is Monsieur Desjardins, Mr. William Edouard Desjardins. There are also the Gagnons, very involved in the religious community. And then you have the Adolphe Lapointe, who owns both the Queen Hotel and the Grand Central Hotel.
There is also the Poulet, who owns an insurance company on the main street. And don't forget also the famous Chaquette. They are also from Mont-Saint-Grégoire, Iberville, in Quebec. They are so involved in our city. One of them will sure become the mayor of the city of Nelson, I'm pretty sure. Their baker is known all across the region. They are the second cousin of you, Mr. Patenaude. One of them will become councillor of Nelson pretty soon, you will see.
There's a lot more to that than you know. Out and outside of Nelson, you probably know Father Désiré Jeannot. Désiré Jeannot. And from him we owe the construction of the Notre Dame de Lourdes Church in the Casp. And it's said about him that he is a generous and very proactive man. One would even say that nothing prevents him from doing his mass. He does it in a cabin in the woods, or even in a mine to miners. Nothing prevents him from spreading the good news.
My word, how interesting indeed. Thank you very much for enlightening me on this subject. I had never realized that you had to deal with such a language barrier. What a challenge.
Of course, back then, the concept of being a Francophone didn't exist. However, the French language was not uncommon in Western Canada. In fact, before the Gold Rush, over 60% of BC's population was predominantly Francophone. Between 1840 and 1842, the first expeditions to the West Coast began. The history often mentions Mackenzie and other Englishmen that led these expeditions, but most of those who were hired were French-Canadian and Métis. They later came with the Hudson's Bay Company for the fur trade and established various colonies where the main European spoken language was French, along with Chinook, a dialect formed of a mix of French, English, and First Nation languages. Other French-Canadians, or as they called themselves, Canadiens, moved out west in search of work in the forest industry and founded towns across the province. Towns like Mayarville, called Coquitlam today, was founded in 1913. Following the gold rush of 1858 and the massive arrival of British and U.S. immigrants at the end of the 19th century, French Canadians soon found themselves in the minority. Many of their descendants live here today, but the usage of French language did not survive decades of assimilation. However, elsewhere in British Columbia, many Francophones have been able to preserve their language and culture. For example, in 1886, the French Canadian Literacy Society, or Société littérale et sociale des Canadiens français, was established in Vancouver. In Victoria, it was in 1858, with the arrival of the Sisters of St. Anne, that French was all the more preserved by the Francophone community. It was the same year that the newspaper Le Courrier de la Nouvelle-Calédonie was published for a few weeks in French. History tells us that Francophones moving to Quebec to British Columbia is not a recent phenomenon. In fact, the migration of French speakers has existed ever since Europeans began to colonize what is known today as British Columbia.
I will continue with you, Mr. Patenaude. It is said that it is not unusual to see you working on several projects at the same time. What is one of the projects you are involved in at the moment?
Yeah, you bet I'm busy. I'm currently helping to build a Mount St. Francis Hospital here in Nelson. It should be completed within a few months. But a lot of work is already completed.
Well, so far it looks wonderful. I recently passed by and found that the construction is well underway. Thank you very much, Mr. Patenaude, and thank you for your involvement. Before we let you go, we will now speak to Madame Bourgeois. According to my research, you are the only white woman in Bourgeois Siding.
Yes, to be honest with you, there is not a lot of people around us to start with. But to answer your question, it is indeed true. I am the only white woman in Bourgeois Siding. As you know, we are very much surrounded by First Nations. The Senaites.
Again.
Well, thank you very much for your time, Mr. and Mrs. Bourgeois. I will let you return to your cattle and your children. I appreciate your participation very much. My article should be published in next week's edition.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Ah!
Thank you for your interest.
It's my pleasure.
The cow's waiting to be milked.
To finish with you, Mr. Patenaude, I have one last question for you. Would you like to share with us one of your biggest dreams?
Maybe it sounds kind of crazy and wacky, but why not? I dream of building a bell at the top of Pulpit Rock. That would be incredible.
What an idea. I think so, too. It would be splendid. On this note, our interview comes to an end. Thank you very much, Mr. Patenaude, for your time today and for your commitment to the community. We are so grateful to you.
years later, in 1920, Monsieur Patinaud sat on Nelson City Council and was an active member of the Chamber of Commerce. Between 1935 and 1949, Patinaud counter-stamped his initials, J-O-P, on 1,000 Canadian silver dollars as part of his campaign to promote the use of silver as currency, which would, in return, help the various silver mines in operation in the area at that time. He gave them as change to his customers, and some of them were later found by coin collectors as far away as Newfoundland. Patinaud sold his jewelry business in 1930 and continued as an optician until 1950. He passed away on May 9, 1956, at the age of 85. He left behind four nephews from Montreal and one cousin in Nelson, L.H. Choquette, who became the mayor of Nelson in the 1920s. To honor his involvement with the opening of Notre Dame University in the early 1950s, one of Selkirk College's 10th Street campus buildings was named after him in 1961, the Patinaud Hall. And what about the bourgeois? After this interview in 1917, they had one more child and kept on operating their very successful dairy farm. Thanks to Henri's competence and reputation in the field, the magazine Farm and Home devoted a substantial article to him. Hortense, his wife, passed away in 1935, and Henri followed in 1958 after suffering a heart attack. Today, only the barn and 135 acres remain of his farm that was once over 2,000 acres large. However, the road leading up to what used to be their farm is now named Bourgeois Road. Albeit fictional, this interview was inspired by the true story of the interviewees and based on research made in the archives of the city of Nelson and through other historical documents. This segment was produced by l'Association des Francophones de Kootenay-Ouest with the precious collaboration of Société Historique Francophone de la Colombie-Britannique and Kootenay Co-op Radio.
Thanks for joining us for this week's edition of Rendez-vous de la Francophonie, presented by La Fondation Canadienne pour le Dialogue des Cultures, the National Campus and Community Radio Association, Canadian Heritage, and the station. To learn more about the RVF series and the National RVF Celebration, and to send us your comments, visit ncra.ca/RVF.